My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Funky Friday here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez and our guy Figgy Fig. I'm Reginald Adetula. We're hanging out with you on this Friday. Take you up to 2 p.m. when we turn it over to The Drive with Clint and Ron. And rewatching the Royals Astros game from last night and just the way that Jason Hayward laid out.
He was right there.
He didn't ultimately make a grab. We're watching the top of the second right now, but that's fun to see. It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. He has won five gold gloves. Yeah, that's a fun thing.
He was close. He was as close as me bidding on Cookout with Cal last night.
Oh, buddy. That's not fair because you weren't close at all. He was actually close. Just like I was not close to winning, what was the giveaway, the big giveaway? Because it was like a casino themed night. Yeah, yeah.
So you turn your chips in after you finish.
Yeah. So the idea
whoever had the most chips.
Yes, whoever had the most chips. I walked over there with five total chips to hand over.
I don't think you're going to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Buddy.
What was the grand prize?
It's like a weekend stay at Cachada.
Yeah, it was a casino trip with golf and everything, man.
Man,
yeah.
I walked up to Cal and Hannah. I said, I'm starting the bidding. It was a Cookout with Cal, 25 people, special Texans guest at his house in River Oaks.
I got you for $350.
No, I told him. I said, I'm starting the bidding. I'm starting the bidding. $500.
Oh, hey.
$500. Hand to God. $500. It went for $50,000.
You were close. Almost.
I thought it went more than that.
It might have been more.
But
I was out at $30,000.
It's no lunch with Will Anderson Jr. You know what
which
I mean?
Was $110,000.
Yeah. God bless the people that got money that are willing to, I mean, put that down for some charity. Shout out to, I mean, there was a gentleman that was on the blackjack table with us that was just throwing down hundreds. And then when he ran out, he went and put some more money in the bank. Because, hey, man, it's for charity. Why not? Yeah. So we could be reckless with these chips.
Yeah. It was all worth it. $1.4 million raised, awesome. Which was a record.
Yeah. Record. Covers all HISD schools for girls flag football. Make sure that we're...
For 5 years.
5 years, in fact. Yeah, so fantastic
job.
We're
going to hear more about this at Figgy's Mixtape, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Excellent. For sure. Looking forward to it. 120 every day right here. On In the Loop. But right now, with the preseason now behind us, we have a 53-man roster. We're figuring some things out with this team. What are some of your predictions? What are some of your expectations for the season? Because, look, there's a lot of prediction and expectation talk leading up to this, but there's a lot more that's unknown from those times. Hell, if we were talking about predictions and expectations before the preseason, you had no idea Cam Akers would have been in the picture.
Yes.
And here he is, as at least when it comes to In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, I think a lot of the kind of people around that cover the team, a lot of us view him as a running back too, right?
Well, I think he is running back too.
And, well, I just say because I don't know that for certain at this point, so I want to keep us covered in this way.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would have been something that you would not have had any idea of. I mean, I think we probably had some idea that Kamari Lassiter would start, but I don't know that we had an idea that Kalen Bullock would also be starting, right? Like, there's some things that we weren't fully assured of that now we do have, and the only thing that's left is for these guys to go play football. And so with that being the case, Now, where do the predictions go? Where do the expectations stand?
And I don't think it's an outrageous prediction, but I will grant you and recognize that it is a somewhat bold prediction. But I'm going to go back to, if this is true, then this will be true.
Okay.
So if it is true, what I think is going to happen with this offense, as we just talked about, in the last hour, Bobby Slowick is going to sort of spread his wings. The addition of Stephon
Diggs, elevate the offense.
If it is true that the offense gets fancy, which is really the only way I've been saying it today, then my prediction is we're going to go into week 16 with C.J. Stroud in the thick of the MVP race.
Mm.
And let me explain that just a little bit.
Please do.
I feel like the first six games of the season is about as soft as this schedule can get. It's a really tough schedule.
Yeah, but it's backloaded, really.
It's backloaded, mid-loaded, too. But you go at 2 Indy. Let's not fool ourselves. That's going to be really, really tough.
It's tough in some ways. Defensive line is a monster up there.
Yeah.
But you're also dealing with an inexperienced quarterback.
Yes.
Who will give you opportunities to maybe take it away.
Yeah.
And I think that Shane Steichen is still getting a little bit of a feel for him. He had four games last year before he got injured, and obviously they have camp. But
that
there's not a guarantee. Hell, we could look at the way that C.J. Stroud was last year. Early on in the season, D'Amico Ryans admitted as much on the Nightcap podcast, and he's done so in other instances as well. It wasn't anywhere near where it ultimately got to be. So that's the time where you can absolutely get at them.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll be able to get at them going forward, but you can absolutely get at them in week
one. So first six games at Indy, not easy, as we just talked about. Bears, rookie quarterback on the road. Minnesota, total mess is happening.
Sam Darnold is the answer there. Sam Darnold is the quarterback.
Jacksonville, you got their number. Buffalo, I just don't believe in them this year. And then at New England. So the first six games, that tells me CJ...
They got that Jacoby Brissett thing.
Like I said again. So first six games, you could be 5-1. CJ could be, humming. And then it gets a little more difficult. You got the Packers, Colts, Jets, Aaron Rodgers, Detroit. But what I'm saying is, if he keeps humming there through the midseason, then you come out of the bye week going into week 15, and you beat Tua Tagovailoa at home, you got Kansas City and Baltimore back to back. One of them is going to be on 4 days rest.
That's the comparison that I have with in college football, the Heisman.
Yes,
you have your opportunity for your Heisman moment, right? The very visible game that can help establish the narrative. Those are his opportunities for MVP moments.
So if he does what he does, and we go to December 21st at Kansas City, we could be sitting here saying, "Guys, this is for the MVP." I really think that's on the table. I really do.
I think that's interesting. As you basically started playing a little bit of the schedule game, let's lean all the way into the schedule game. It feels like there's been a constant look at this team the first place schedule, which of course we know affects three games, really.
Mm-hmm.
That changes three games on what you're doing here. But you're coming in, and I think Vegas and a lot of places have stacked this around 10 wins. Has that shifted at all for you? And I understand the idea of just let's do the win-loss thing is not always the way to look at this, but I am interested because as you're looking at this and talking about the idea of MVP, the record does matter in that regard. And has that shifted at all for you where you look at the record and you go, maybe you found another game and 11 or 12 feels more viable?
Really hasn't shifted for me too much because I will take minimum 10 wins, maybe one more than that, if not more. Simply because I believe that the first six games are going to be a nice little start to the season for this squad. Obviously, anything can happen. We know that whole, stuff. But I really believe the first 6 weeks, they're going to get off to a good start. And if that happens, you get 5 wins out of 6 to start the year, well, you're going to get another 5 wins. I mean, it's not going to be easy because, it gets so much tougher. But you're going to, this team is good enough that they'll get another 5 wins somewhere.
Right. But I think that then what makes those kind of two things a little bit tough to go together is you get 5 wins early. And look, we would understand the reasons why you look at the schedule. Unfortunately, as a national NFL media and with the way that narratives get built.
Yeah.
We don't do a good job of contextualizing these things. I still remember, what was that, 2 or 3 seasons ago where the Pittsburgh Steelers started 11-0, and I looked at them, I'm like, they're not good at football.
Yeah.
But like we had to talk about them as if they had some cooking there, and I'm
but
like,
that's not this squad.
They're not, but yeah, but yeah. I think the problem with this is they win five games, and now you get into this tough meat of the schedule where you've got another. Right, you say they win five of the first six, right?
Yeah, that's
Let's
what
just
I think.
Hypothesis there.
Yeah.
Then in the next, you know, eight games,
it's rough,
right?
It's rough.
If you go what 500 in those eight games, you go 4-4.
Well, you're at nine.
Does that feel the same, or like, because are the talking heads talking about CJ as a MVP candidate? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, they're going on a little bit of a skid here, right? Yeah. Like, even though the context is very clear that these are tough games, mm-hmm. does that shift the way that this conversation happens? And that's why mm-hmm. when you talk about CJ being in the MVP conversation, that took my main mind to, oh, do you think that it's possible that they're adding more wins in this where it's getting closer to 12 as opposed to kind of the 10?
I think absolutely they could. But I don't think the narrative is going to shift too much because people know Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, Jared Goff, Dak Prescott, you know, right going into the bye week, you got four of those guys. Then you go, who knows what Anthony Richardson's going to be doing or hell, even Trevor Lawrence the week before the bye on December 1st. So, but if you go, you know, if you split those a little bit and that's six, seven games, and let's say you go 4-3, I don't think anybody's going to really be down on this team coming out of the bye week because then you got those three games, Miami, Kansas City, Baltimore, all favorites like you to make a big run perhaps in the AFC.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair, but yeah. I wanted to put that forward as a possibility because I understand I understand how the machine works at times.
How people are.
Right. And look, again, when you have these things kind of built up in such a way where a lot of your tough games are in a stretch, sometimes the national media can be a little bit more forgiving and being, you know, recognizing that, hey, this is a tough stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it don't happen like that. Sometimes it's just like, well, it don't matter. You're at a level where you need to play at an elite level. And so you win the games. We don't care. Win the games.
Yeah.
So there you go. Are there any other kind of predictions or expectations for the season? And look, as I said that, 8-3-2 immediately comes in. MVPs win during the tough parts of the season, too. I got you, but...
Well, I said that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm talking about. They're going to go into the stretch run, you know, with Tagovailoa and Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. What I'm saying is I could see where he's in, like, in the thick of it, in the thick of the conversation. Other predictions, not so much, like, macro like that, more individual. Like, I think Kamari Lasseter, we talked about this yesterday, is going to be a really, really good player. And that would lead to my other one, and that is if Kamari Lasseter is what I think he's going to be, on top of what Derek Stingley we know can be if he's healthy.
Absolutely.
Top five defense.
Yeah.
Top
I'm with
five
you
defense.
There. And I wanted to take it a step further. I think that this is going to be a turnover defense. Mm-hmm. I think that they're taking the football away. And that maybe that's a little bit more hopeful, but I think preseason, I'm doing the training camp. I'm falling for the pump fake, right? And if it is indeed a pump fake, then it is what it is. But I'm gonna jump because seeing, especially the young guys, get out here and get their hand on the football and catch the football, right? Mm-hmm. And especially with Kamari Lassiter himself, one of the things that makes him so incredible, I know that there's the 4.6 40 that people thought about a lot, was he makes up for that lack of speed, I guess, or that maybe that's a little too bold of a way of saying it, but I guess whatever you feel about that speed, with just an incredible awareness and kind of internal clock of when do I get my hand between the, you know, when I get my hand between the hands, when do I, can I get a PBU here, right? Am I in the right place where I'm on somebody's hip, right? I think that that was one of the things that we learned last night, is how, just how much wide receivers, how much it matters for them, just that relationship in space with a wide receiver and a defensive back. And it feels like Kamari Lassiter has that in a way that you don't expect a dude who is stepping onto the field for the first time, the NFL field for the first time, to do. And that's the type of thing that puts you in a position to jump footballs. That's the type of thing that gives you the opportunity to knock the ball and get the ball in the air that ultimately, when you swarm, somebody else can come and catch it. And it seems like this defensive back room is prepared for that kind of things, in addition to like the, just the, you know, the maybe fumbles and takeaways that can happen elsewhere as well.
You are 100% right on that. A lot of people, a lot of fans, a lot of people in this industry like to use these little catchphrases so they can sound smarter than they really are about X's and O's football.
Run multiple defense.
Yeah. Oh, he's got great hips.
Yeah.
Explain that. You know, most people who say that, he's got great hips, have no idea what it is. And the other one,
hips
and,
better than good. That's what it means.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And the other one that you hear all the time, and the reason I brought that up is because I'm going to use this phrase like the way it should be used, because I've seen it in practice on the practice field. Ball skills.
Okay.
Like Kamari Lassiter, it's an innate talent that certain guys just have. You alluded to it, like when to jump, when to find. Mine is like,
when to get your head around is really a big one as a defensive back.
When to get your head around and all that stuff. He just has something that is like, I don't know if it's from the SEC days, if it's just a natural
thing. I'm sure that helps.
A natural thing that he has. That dude knows how to get his hands exactly where they need to be to either knock down the ball or cause an incompletion or whatever it may be. And, you know, by extension, if that happens and it continues into the postseason, this is going to be a really, really good defense. One more thing from last night that I know you heard this, because Mark Vandermeer was interviewing Aziz Alshaair and Jimmy Ward and, for some unknown reason, Jonathan Weeks.
Hey, don't do that to that man.
I'm just kidding.
Wait a minute, man.
Come on, man. The long snappers matter, okay?
Yeah, he's my guy, man. He knows that. Just kidding around. But Jimmy Ward kind of reflected, because he is Jimmy Ward. He'll tell you what he thinks. Like, they were like, well, tell us about this defense, you know. And he just flat out said, like, there's a little internal competition in that building. He said, hey, the defense is going to win games. Like, not like, no disrespect, but like, we're going to do things that win the games on the defensive side. So there's that little confidence, internal competition. Maybe it has something to do with the secondary. Maybe it has something to do, they think they're going to be able to turn the ball over. But I think they know they're going to be really, really good if these certain things happen.
Yeah. And so, look, I'm excited for the season. And from the 8-3-2, I think this is an interesting one to bring up, right? Because we've taken this from a positive perspective, as I think we largely have for the last few weeks leading into the regular season. But the 8-3-2 mentions the biggest concern is run defense. And I think that's going to be super intriguing, especially because as the team is set, there are reasons for that, right? That middle of the defense, you're missing that spine of the defense. You're missing two of the guys that are going to be vital in that. Danico Autry is suspended for the first six games. And Christian Harris is going to start the season on IR. So you're going to miss him for four games. And those guys are going to be instrumental, in theory, in run defense.
Yeah.
So it becomes even more important for the likes of Mario Edwards, for Henry To'o or Jake Hansen to be on their P's and Q's, in addition with the rest of, you know, your defense, to make sure that that is not a weakness, especially early on in the season as the season continues through. So, yeah, I think that is a fair takeaway when you're looking at the expectations and, you know, for the season and predictions, is hey man, how does that look like? Because those guys are, we know now officially, it's not just, hey, Christian Harris hasn't been practicing. Now we know officially
he's not
going to be there.
Yeah.
What does that mean for what the run defense looks like?
That's more than fair, especially when you're right out of the chute. You're just looking at a guy that destroys you.
Oh, Jonathan Taylor? Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, he destroys
you. I've heard
you.
He runs the football pretty well
and
sometimes.
He's pretty good between the tackles, between the guards.
Yeah.
And that's what he's talking about. That's what we're referencing here. Interior linebacker, interior defensive tackles. That's going to be the test. We're going to be here on the Monday after, you know, the season opener. And I promise you, I don't know what all we're going to be talking about, but we're going to be talking about the run defense against Jonathan Taylor.
One
way or another.
Although I do wonder, is that going to be, do you feel like that's going to be all that indicative? Oh yeah, I forgot that DeAndre Swift ended up with the Bears. Cause I was like looking at it, run defense, especially in the first 4 to 6 weeks, as I just established why those numbers are important. 4 weeks for Christian Harris, IR at least. And then Danico Autry, 6-game suspension, right? Jonathan Taylor in week 1. Week 2, DeAndre Swift at running back. Minnesota, who are we going with the running back? Are they still on the Madison train? Right, like that's I need to get what that depth chart looks like there. And then we mentioned Jacksonville, ETN situation there. Buffalo Bills, I don't know that there's a running back that really scares me there. The Patriots, okay. Ramondre Stevenson. Like that's the first 6 weeks.
Yeah.
There's a couple of dudes that are really scary, but I'm like outside of, I'm like, hey, I think that this is something that is going to be outside of maybe, I don't know that Jonathan Taylor will be the barometer, but outside of that
he'll be a big part of it.
Outside of that one, I think there will be a real interesting interesting light shed on whether this run defense is airtight. And so, yeah, that's another thing that's very fair to bring up within the context of now that we see this team. But, yeah, look, man, I'm so excited for football. I'm kind of sad that it's not this weekend where we get to see week one happen. But, look, the team is together. They're ready to go. And the week of practice begins next week to get themselves, this weekend, to get themselves ready for Indianapolis and for the rest of the season. And hopefully what will be a fantastic season for your Houston Texans. Aaron Jones ended up over there. That's right, in division. Okay, maybe I need to revise that statement. Aaron Jones has a very established record as a running back in this league. So okay. I'm a little bit more open to that concern that you
have.
We're
gonna find out.
That's right. Shout out to the text line keeping me honest. Always do that. 713-572-4610. But coming up next, we always got honesty when we're giving you some lunchtime confessions. We'll do that next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
All right, let's hit this, and this is an important one here. I said important. This used to be a great holiday weekend. Labor Day weekend used to be a great circle the calendar.
Is it not anymore?
I feel like it's kind of lost some of its luster.
Huh.
I don't know if it's because school now starts the second week or earlier in August, and or maybe it's because college football or whatever. Like Labor Day weekend used to be like, dude, Labor Day weekend, what are you doing? Let's go here. Let's do that. I don't know. It must be the school thing. Are y'all feeling that or is it just me?
I think you might be aging out of it. That's what it is.
It's not aging out. I mean, I'll fully acknowledge that when I do age out of certain things. I just feel like how much buzz has there been about Labor Day weekend around here?
It's funny you said that. I actually ran across a poll that was pretty much talking about Labor Day coming up, and that's not even the top holiday to barbecue now. I think it's like third on the list.
It used to be.
Yeah.
And it used to like mark the end of the summer. Like, okay, Labor Day weekend, summer's over, one more big, whatever you're going to do, go to the lake or whatever. And then school starts the next week.
Oh, wow. Okay, look, we got Joseph on the YouTube saying, I think I'm with Lopez on that Labor Day feeling.
It's weird.
832 on the text line says they're working Labor Day. So, okay, maybe you're right. For me,
some people look at the 4th of July first.
Yes.
Memorial Day. And Labor Day.
That's always felt like the order for me personally, but maybe I'm just, I don't know. But Labor Day, another day off, right? Like, I'm just, can I find a pool to be at? Can I find somebody barbecuing or cooking out? And and honestly, I just am not, I don't have as many folks in the area that I can lean on to do that just yet. But like, yeah, if I was in my element, I'd be at a pool and, you
for
know,
sure.
In front of somebody's grill.
But it used to be more than just another 3-day weekend.
Yeah, I think it used to be kind of like a end to the summer part.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's just like, all right, just that last time we could grill and then school and work. And there's no other holiday until like Thanksgiving, I want to say, like a official holiday like that.
I also wonder if.
Wow, Halloween slander. I see you.
I also wonder if college football. Now so easy to access, and now all over, you know, our devices and television and all that. People are like, I'm gonna stay home, maybe barbecue, but I'm watching ball. You know,
yeah, it's tough.
Maybe so.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
I don't think I'm gonna cook anytime soon.
Come on now,
are you a cooker?
I'll cook a little bit. Like, I'm not going to pretend like I'm a chef or anything. Like, I do anything super incredible, but I can handle my own if I need to. And so, I mean, look, it is the more efficient way of getting things done.
Cheaper.
Although, look, man, things, but barely. Everything's pricey out here, to be completely honest, but it's also pricey to eat around. However, right, getting to Houston, one of the things I love about Houston is a food city that rivals some of the food cities of the world that people talk big about. And so, like, I was talking with Aaron last night. Like, I think Chicago gets like one of those big raps as a food city. I'm like, Houston can go at Chicago.
You go toe to toe,
right? Can go toe to toe in that way. And so, with that being the case, returning to Houston, the question I've asked, and you guys have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
When I catch somebody, I'm like, hey, what's some spots I need to hit up? And right now, I have a running list in my phone.
Good.
That is deep, and I'm like, if I just ate at one place a day, I'm not cooking for another few weeks. And we learned that our new friend, or at least my new friend, I don't know about how deep y'all were with Robert Woods.
Oh, he's our friend.
Bobby Trees.
I thought we already figured that out. But apparently he's a foodie. And he expanded the list. You guys expanded the list. I don't think I'm going to be cooking.
He actually did a good job. Everything we was throwing out, he was like, oh, yeah, yeah, I've been there.
I've been there.
There's maybe like two things he never tried, but he's been to everything.
And
man.
Yes, 337, I make jollof rice. I'm not as good at making jollof rice just yet. It will come with time. But, you know, the basics. I handle the basics.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
Man, so we was at the season premiere yesterday. And for those who don't know, I'm not a gambler. I don't bet money on anything. I would go in the casino just for the buffet. That's it. I'm not really a slot guy and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But our boss gave us some tickets, some money coupons or whatever it was. I was sitting there lost like a little puppy, man. I'm like, what do I do with this?
What were you playing?
So I ended up playing blackjack. That's my confession. The only thing I know how to play in the casino for real.
That's cool.
Is blackjack.
Blackjack's a great way to spend time in a casino.
You
can cook on blackjack.
It's cool, but I don't know anything about poker, craps, or the other stuff they play, Russian roulette.
Close enough.
Yeah. Man, I felt so lost, man. I'm like, man, maybe I need to learn poker, learn a couple things, man.
There's only one way to learn. Keep going, baby.
Poker is actually pretty easy, especially with a lot of the online poker that you can do.
And You learn with your phone.
Yeah, I actually learned how to play blackjack on. This was back in the day when computers didn't really have games, and the games that came on the computer was like solitaire.
Yep.
And some had blackjack. That's how I learned how to play blackjack. But the only card games I know how to play was Tunk. I know how to play spades.
Of course. So you got my two impossible reference earlier then, right?
Yeah.
The text board was asking about that.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure. Did you get it, John?
I didn't know. It went right over my head.
You don't play spades?
Good. Not in years.
But you have played it before?
Oh, yeah. I used to be pretty with my brothers. We used to play spades when I was a kid.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never thought of kids playing spades.
No, we played spades all the time.
We used to play in high school.
And dominoes. We played a lot of dominoes.
Yeah, I bet you did. One of the things I love about blackjack is like, it feels like a relatively low stress environment. Everybody at the table is like kind of rooting for each other because we're all going against the against the dealer.
Yeah.
Now, I was like, I kind of maybe want to play poker, but actually I don't last night because I was like, one thing I don't want to be at odds with any of these people in here. Yeah, that's not where I'm trying to be at all.
The one game that really intrigued me that I kind of wish I knew how to play was like craps or shooting dice.
You came to the right man.
Hey, I have.
You came to the right place.
I grew up with homies that used to shoot dice on the corner a lot.
Shooting dice is a fun time.
It was always so cool, but it never ended bad.
Exactly.
I'm not playing again in the alley.
I know that, but
it would take me back to that place. That flashback.
I was around somebody actually got shot.
I believe
at
it.
A dice game.
I believe it.
It went left and got shot and went in his pocket.
Craps.
So I'm like, man,
dude, I got books at my home that I've read about. I've been playing for 35 years, almost exclusively. I can play a little craps. Hell. I won almost $5,000 in Vegas when we went for the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Playing craps, and that's not a brag because I've lost a lot more. but I'm just saying I love that game. And to what Reggie was talking about, it truly is the only game in the casino. Because even blackjack, you can get mad about how the guy next to you is playing his cards,
how he took
your king or
that's
whatever.
Right. Yeah,
craps is the only one where by and large. Everybody's pulling for each other.
I always think about that episode of Fresh Prince where Will Smith was at the craps table or something like that. And everybody like, go Will!
Yeah.
Go Will!
Or Rush Hour. Was it Rush Hour 2 when they ended up in the casino and Chris Tucker was acting a fool? Yeah, man.
Speaking of last night. Watch this. These are my confessions. I might have come to this conclusion well before last night. But it sort of just solidified itself today. I was telling Figgy in the hallway, I am so cool with being a weekday lightweight now. I'm like completely...
washing machine.
I am completely at peace with being a weekday washed social person.
A weekday, W-E-A-K?
Yeah,
weekday?
W-E-A-K.
I'm totally
comfortable with it. Because last night, I think I went back and thought about it when I was talking to Figgy. I think I had 3 vodka tonics and a glass of wine. But that was over like 4 hours. So when I walked out of there, I didn't even feel it. You know, I was cool. But then I got home and I watched the end of the Colorado game. And then I watched a little bit of the Sports Center. And the next thing I know, it was like 11:30. And I went to bed and I woke up this morning. I was like, dude, I am so washed up. I wasn't even drunk. I just had a few drinks.
And you felt it?
And then I stayed up a little later than usual. And I woke up like, where's the coffee, man? Like, where's the coffee? It wasn't hungover. It's just like.
You weren't at 100, though.
I'm a weekday lightweight, and I'm totally at peace with that.
Yeah, that's funny. That's something that's funny that you mentioned, because it sounds like our guy Figgy might be a little bit of that, too.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm the same. So I had a couple drinks, too. I had like 3 glasses of wine and I had like a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, whenever I drink like that, not get drunk, but drink.
Yeah.
I get home and I be wide awake.
I
lay in the bed and can't really go to sleep. So I'm like, let me edit my little social media video since I'm up. I ain't go to sleep till like 1:30, man.
Oh,
I was just up, man. I don't know if it was just like an exciting night where I'm still kind of...
Well, you get kind of adrenaline, yeah.
Yeah, but I was up, man. Watch this.
These are my confessions. I was so excited for today. You want to know why?
Why is that?
The weekend, Labor Day weekend, obviously, college football getting going in earnest, right? Mm-hmm. Not this week zero stuff, which, you know, it is what it is. It gets you to where you need to be.
Yeah.
But we get this going in a real way. And what makes all of that even more exciting is in my Houston apartment,
mm-hmm.
today is the day when I get the 3 TV set.
Oh, hey. Nice.
And so this weekend I get to be a full glutton.
Dang.
A full sicko. And just football into my eyeballs all Saturday.
We've lost Reggie. Like.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's going to be a problem.
So what's the TV setup? Like, what's the size of the TVs? You got 3 TVs.
3 55-inch TVs. So I don't go the way Sean like goes. Sean goes one big TV and
that's
then 2 smaller TVs. I go with 3 TVs all the same size.
I like that.
Straight across. It looked like a Buffalo Wild Wings in there.
I like that, man.
And, you know, what it affords me is, you know, I can kind of have a game over here, I can play a video games during the course of this. Mm-hmm. I can have an Astros game on or different things that maybe have different levels of intrigue for me where I could peek over very easily without having to flip the channel. Or on a game day, like a college football game day, when you hit noon and you got three games on, three games across. Or even NFL football Sunday is where it's really fun for me because I'll get Red Zone on one. And then you know how you have your two local games on, unless it's obviously Texans. Then I could do something where I like doing this. I'll go Red Zone on one, just, you know, off the side. And then I'll have both of the games on the same channel, but one of them on a delay, like 20 seconds. So I always have instant replay.
Like the press box.
Constant instant replay.
It's like the press box where you watch it on the play on the field, then you look up and see it again.
Yeah, that's perfect. I like the way they got that, man. Yeah, where you could watch the play live, and then you look up and watch the play again. It's perfect.
And you're right, Tommy Dang. Nice to be single. That's right. As I master my domain for the time being.
I could not get away with that.
I will never go back.
I got to wait till I get a house and get a man, little man cave that's to right. do that. I cannot do that in our living room.
Yeah, but for the time being, three TV lifestyle. We're back and it feels so good. There you go. Some confessions here in the loop. Sports Radio 610 brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. Appreciate you guys hanging out. Speaking of college football, let's talk about it. The college football week one schedule began last night. Talk a little bit about that and how will college football change and affect you over the course of this weekend and the course of this season. We'll talk about that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Man, what a fantastic vibe it is. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, I'm Reginald Atitula. Thanks for hanging out for me, with me and us. And sorry, getting distracted by the text line. Appreciate you guys texting in. 713-572-4610, where people are saying, let me know the address, I'll bring food and beer. I appreciate that kindness. Someone flexing a little bit. Only got two TVs, but one is 72 and the other is 55. Okay, I see.
Where the hell did you put that?
This is where we're going.
Hey, man, go ahead and flex. I ain't mad at you.
Hey, I'm jealous.
Someone is with you that craps is the only game to play.
Oh, it's the best.
When you get a hot table especially.
Yeah.
And the 832 is asking me, who am I getting my TV set up by? They have five 55 inches that they need to set up for day trading.
That's enough of this nonsense.
What?
This little contest that's going on here.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
Who is that on the test line? Hannah in there?
This little,
just flexing?
Yeah, flexing, measuring.
Your Dior TVs?
All that
Dior stuff. TVs? I bet Hannah's got nothing but Dior TVs. It's all Dior over here.
Well, she doesn't have Dior tennis shoes, apparently.
Your Queenies?
she wore the heels. She didn't get those Dior tennis. She didn't get the memo that was her memo.
Hey, she don't want to be like us peasants.
That's right. All of that is a reference to the Texans season premiere that we had the good fortune of being able to attend last night. Raised $1.4 million for HISD girls flag football programs to be funded for 5 years. So that's a fantastic thing that the Texans are doing. Figgy will give you a little bit more information about that at 1:20. But right now, you did mention after you were able to go home and watch the end of a football game, John, I was keeping my eyes on that football game as much as I could during the course of the season premiere. But college football back, baby.
Yeah,
Week one in full effect. And last night, one of the biggest intriguing games was Colorado facing off against an FCS program, which sometimes you go, an FCS program, week one is getting weak. But this is an FCS program with history in North Dakota State, and so this definitely had even more intrigue. Colorado coming off of a 4-win season had a lot of hype, but ultimately not a lot of substance when it comes to the raw win numbers. They started off decently in getting a win behind Shador Sanders and really behind Travis Hunter.
Man, let me throw some college football thoughts out at you here, man, both you guys. I guess I got there at the midway end of the third quarter, maybe. I think it was midway at the third quarter, started watching that. After we got back, and first things first, college football affects your mood, right? All weekend. Like, it's just weird. More so even than NFL, your NFL team or whatever, just affects your mood. So I was very, very intrigued by this game last night, as much for the obvious reasons, Deion and then Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders. Dude, they might have like a 1-1A in terms of the NFL draft. Like, just sheer, you know, proven ability, the things they're doing. Travis Hunter is a monster.
That's my main takeaway. Like, this dude is nice. Like, honestly,
he's a monster.
He I'm kind of sick of it. Like, or not sick of it, but sick by it. Like, yeah. why are you able to do this?
Yeah.
Again, I wasn't able to watch this live, but there was one play in particular, and I think most people
that
know.
Front corner end zone?
I mean, corner of the end zone.
Yeah,
a little,
they say it was a Madden glitch.
Yeah, type of a little comeback at the front pylon, and the North Dakota State defender literally is putting two hands
he
in.
He was hugging them.
Travis yeah. Hunter's center mass, pushing him out of bounds, and somehow Travis Hunter, in something that seems physically impossible, was like, counteracting like, his the middle of his body being pushed away
yeah.
and somehow reaches through the hands to grab the football
mm-hmm.
as it feels like his arms are going one way and his body is going the other way. And that's not something you should be able to do. Like, in theory, you should not be able to counteract somebody pushing you center mass, pushing the entirety of your body away from where you're trying to be and mm-hmm. still manage to get there. And all while still playing both ways,
yeah.
all like every down.
He's a monster. Like, I want to say, clearly if they're both 1 and 1A, you take Sanders first.
Are you clear on that?
I don't know.
Are you clear on that? Like,
I don't know, man.
This has reignited the conversation. Yeah. Should he? He's definitely a Sunday player. Like, I think that was evident.
Yeah.
Should he play both ways in the NFL?
I think he should have the opportunity to, at least in some spurts, right? In certain situations, I mean, you can't waste that kind of talent.
I don't think you can. I don't think.
Not every down.
Have we seen it done like that? Because we've seen it.
Not really.
He's seen it a couple times. Like, I remember Ohio State Chris Gamble.
Yeah,
he played both sides, but mm-hmm. when he got to the league, he only played corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know that Deion himself did it some, but I mean, when it was Deion on offense, Deion wasn't really like
it was in spurts. That's probably what you're looking at with Hunter. As well. Okay, so we go from that to
Shador Sanders, mind you, threw for 445
yards. That's what I'm saying.
Yards.
Like it's not like a... it's not like Travis Hunter was carrying him.
I will say though, before we move on.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the dude that rains on the parade a little bit. Because this happened last year, right? Where mm-hmm. early on you're seeing incredible things. They're playing against a North Dakota State team that just doesn't have the heft to make this possible.
Like, yeah.
The run game was still putrid.
It was awful.
They're still not blocking very well. It's really the same issues that they had last year exist.
Mm-hmm.
And again, once you get up to the teams that have the heft, that have the depth to be able to handle this, that are not FCS teams, with all due respect to North Dakota State,
yeah.
they're not going to be able to do that in the same level.
No.
Just being completely honest.
Make no mistake about it. If it wasn't for Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders, this is a 2-win team. I think it's a 2 or 3 win team without him.
Quite possible.
But they're there.
Yeah.
All right. So we go from the apex, from the wow, to this. And this kind of bothered me. I mean, not kind. It bothered me. So Stephen F. Austin, shout out to the Lumberjacks.
Hey, SF.
Love your program. I've called the games at NRG every year when you used to play Sam every year. And I love the program. But you got to do better than this, man. I get you got the warm-up games. Let me tell you a little bit about North American University.
Ah, yes.
Let me tell you a little bit about North
America. I didn't know they had a football program, being completely honest.
I didn't know we could probably throw a rock from here and hit it. North American University, Figgy, is in Houston.
That is correct.
I did not know that.
That is correct.
It's in Houston.
You know what that reminded me of? Yeah. That reminded me of Coming to America when Hakeem was like, I go to the university. The University of the United States.
Yeah.
They don't even have a basketball team.
As long as I've lived here, no idea this place existed. But apparently, they started playing football during COVID.
Okay, that's why. Because I was like, I've seen them play basketball. Did not know they had a football program.
They started playing during COVID. Their school president, I double-checked this, is on the country of Turkey's most wanted terrorist list.
Oh.
Look it up. The president of North American University came over here, and he is on the nation of Turkey's most wanted terrorist list.
Oh.
They lost to Sacramento State last year.
Also a basketball school.
91-0.
Oh, yes, I remember that game. Okay, so I was like, I heard of North American University before as well. Got you. Yep.
I went so far as to map North American University, and then I did the satellite image. It looks like a bank. It's like a five-story building. Like, what are we doing, SFA? They're up 70-0 at the half. They started playing 5-minute quarters in the third and fourth quarter. Come on.
Is that Sycamore Bishop?
Bishop Sycamore?
They could
Bishop Sycamore.
They would lose by 30 to Atascocita High School. Their quarterback was in the Finnish military, came over to the United States. He's a Finn. And he said, yeah, I'll play quarterback. I got to go to college anyway. What are we doing? What are we? You got to do
that's
better.
Crazy.
Than
that.
You got to do better.
That school is in Stafford.
I mean, did they get a win though?
That's
they
crazy.
Lost 70 to nothing.
Okay.
Yeah. 5 minute quarters in the second half.
I appreciate that. Look, man, sometimes, especially with college football, like that's the thing where you're going to get to it, like how these things can affect your mood. The way that it can affect your mood is, oh yeah, that's right. This thing takes about 5 hours to get through this game.
Yeah.
Right? Like these games are long. So, hey man, anytime that we can get the whoop, move the thing. Yeah. Run a clock.
Yeah.
Run a clock.
Yeah. All right. So what I'm watching for this week, and let's forget some of this other stuff that's happened over the, did you know that 43 of the 68 Power 5 schools have transfer quarterbacks?
Yeah, man. That's the new world that we live in, man. Is that quarterbacks are moving around.
43 of 68 are transfer starting quarterbacks.
And it's not just, like, there's different styles of transfers. There's the, you know, I need to find a place to actually get time. There's the, I played pretty well on a lower level, so this is a step up. There's the, I need a change of scenery, right? There's all sorts of different transfers, and that has become open to it. And I implore every team to make use of it because it gives us an opportunity to get that offensive quarterback talent spread out because sometimes you just end up with quarterback talent stashed on a roster waiting for the opportunity to maybe get out there on the field.
Yeah. All right, so here's what I'm going to be watching this weekend. So excited. And you're going to have three TVs to maybe check in on some of this.
Buddy,
so,
I'm going to be all over it.
So it's two categories. And this is every Saturday during college football season for me. There's the games that I'm in. I'm watching. Hopefully they don't overlap too much. I'm going to watch these games. And then there's the check-in games. I'll check in on this game. And if it's close or if it's an upset, then I'll go ahead and stay in. So the games I'm watching, obviously Texas A&M and Notre Dame. And for those who have been asking, we had a couple people asking, Sean Pendergast and I have a bet that if the Aggies lose, I have to wear a helmet during a show and sing the Fighting Irish fight song. And same for him. He'll sing the Aggie War Hymn and wear a helmet during the morning show. So I'm in on A&M, Notre Dame, of course. Georgia, Clemson, for sure. Miami, Florida.
That's a great day. Yeah, honestly, Saturday is set up pretty well. Yeah. Georgia, Clemson's noon. Miami versus Florida is 3:30. So that's the next window there.
Penn State, West Virginia
is the same time as Georgia Clemson, so maybe you're checking in. But then Notre Dame, A&M, the game that you were talking about, is Saturday evening. So you have three games on Saturday if you want to just be a couch potato.
And then here are the check-ins, and a lot of it's just because I'm always intrigued by some of these teams. LSU-USC, the only reason I'm checking in on that, it's the same time as the Aggs. So I'll just have to check in on LSU, USC.
That's on Sunday, funny enough.
Oh, it's on Sunday?
That is on Sunday.
Mm. Oh, I was just looking at the time.
Well, yeah.
Well, so hell, then I'm in.
That's a whole different thing, yeah.
I must have just looked at the time and not the date. TCU-Stanford, that's a Friday night game.
That's tonight.
Yeah.
That is tonight.
That's a Friday night game, so that's going to be fun. Colorado State-Texas, just because, you know, why not? It's Texas.
I mean, yeah, Texas has this high aspirations. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to walk into the SEC and possibly have an opportunity to win it. So you at least have to handle your business. Mm-hmm. This is where in years past, and like Texas has kind of embarrassed themselves at times. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily exactly Colorado State, but they've had these instances where it's like, oh, this is the year when you're supposed to get it together. And then there's a little bit of a trip up, so you want to make sure that you start this off in glowing fashion and all of the cylinders are firing.
And then in a weird way, I always end the night with the late night West Coast game. I think I've told you about this.
I wonder if this is going to feel the same, man.
It's awesome. You know, you've gone through your day, your team either won or lost, you're either drowning your sorrows or you're happy and feeling content, and you sit in your chair or on your couch. And in this case, Wyoming, Arizona State.
That's real sicko behavior.
Why? It is. It is. I love the late night. I'm going to watch it till I fall asleep.
What is that? What is that? The Big Sky, Big 12 matchup? Is that what that is?
Yeah. Wyoming, Arizona State, baby. I'll be plugged in.
Conference realignment has robbed us of tradition.
Yeah.
That's one thing I'm really interested in is how are all these things going to feel? Like, it used to be nice, Pac-12 after dark, mm-hmm. not quite anymore. So how is everything going to feel? How are the new intros going to hit, yep. right? You're watching SEC on ABC, right? You're watching the Big Ten in a play. Well, that Big Ten is still going to be on Fox. Just like seeing that those move arounds is going to mm-hmm. be really interesting. But yeah, excited for a college football weekend coming up here. And I guess shout out to Colorado getting a win. And more importantly, shout out to Shador and Travis Hunter continuing to show themselves as very viable draft picks in this upcoming draft or in the next draft in the NFL. Yeah. Coming up next in the Loop, Sports Radio 610, there was a list that was put out. Why each of the Super Bowl contenders will or won't hoist the Lombardi. What does that mean around the NFL? What does that mean for your Texans? We'll do that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.